To finish up what we were discussing and then to move on, again, a very important topic. I wanted to fill in a few of the, just in terms of the gradations, just to make it clear because I've got a few questions afterwards. So we have several gradations in this. We already talked about the kutim in their past, but in terms of the final stages, so basically we have different stages in the Gemara. We have the Gemara here on Hayamud Beis, which again we already talked about, but just very quickly to review. This one thing we didn't note is that the original formulation in the Gemara, is it working?
Working on it.
Let me continue. Okay. That I'm just curious why it didn't go before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested in the in getting everybody computer credit, so that has to be like a problem. We solved the problem. Toshma, Anir Isis Rabbi Yochanan Shakom Shkutas Kiyum. Sorry. Before that, the original formulation in the Gemara is that Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino in the middle of Hayamud Beis Nimnu al shchitas kuti ve'asruha. So again, just even in terms of language, it doesn't sound like the initial gzeira here was on the gavra kuti. Right? It sounds like it was limited.
So which one is it? We figured it out. Is this one?
Let me see. This is all one file.
So all these?
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll send
these
them.
Are just a few things on just some of the. So it's you know, just that's interesting note, just the contrast between the first formulation and the last formulation, which of course here is in the middle of an Amud later, in the middle of Bava Amud Aleph, is which is you know, Holak Rabavo Vesipra Dvarim Lifnei Ravami Vravasi Velo Zazu Misham Ad She'asa'um Ovdei Kochavim Right Gemurim. So just, you know, again, it's always, language is always difficult. I mean, people say things in different ways. We're also very attuned to the, you know, potential significance. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. And what do we know? Was there a problem originally?
Yeah, there are two different ways to share it. We were doing it the wrong way.
How do you share it?
There you put the share as opposed to the email.
Ah.
Like two options. The email isn't connected to your email, the share is.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
They want to encourage a sharing mentality.
Yeah, sharing
environment. Interesting. Right. So I'm saying from the beginning, which is you know, very much focused on the cheftza of the shechita, or the ma'isa shechita, the result of the shechita, till the end. You know, it sounds like, again, it's hard to know, obviously, because you could say things in different ways. And then of course we have these various stages. Like the original one is this, and then we're told already that there was some question about whether or not, you know, notwithstanding that this was done, that everybody was eating, you know, Anira Isi Sarbi Ochan Shachal Mishkitas Kuti, right, Ravasi Ochal Mishkitas Kuti, and so on. And then the question is whether Shmielu Velo Makabli or Shmielu Hava Makabli, which is also interesting. But again, this is something that Shai brought to my attention afterwards. And I was a little bit, thought it was cute, but the more I think about it, it is a valid point. In addition to being cute, it's also cute, right? And that is that the Gemara says originally, the Isa Kadaita Chlo Shmielahu, the Eva Shmielu Hava Makabli La, right? Hechem Estaya Milsa Lemechal Isura. And we'll discuss, you know, the bigger question of that, but, you know, Behemton Shal Tzadikim in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, maybe Takala. You know, al yadam, you know, tzadikim atzmam lekol shekein. So it sounds like the Gemara is, you know, is considering this to be a problem. You know, that people should be nichshal in the, you know, in this din. Even though, and this is at the earliest stage, when it sounds like it's limited, you know, to certain particular mitzvos or institutions. That it's not a din in the Gavra, maybe even, likely even, vis-a-vis that particular institution. Right? You know, even if something is limited to an institution, you could still say, legabe this, we treat you as, you know, it's like a selective, you know, application. That's always, you know, kind of an iffy kind of proposition. But especially if we think that there are different levels of Kedushas Yisrael expressed by different things, something we also talked about, that becomes possible. But again, it's interesting that the Gemara has that. Then, when the Gemara elaborates more fully on what happened, Maitama Gozer Behu Rabbanan, so then the Gemara tells the story And here the formulation is that it's connected, as we've discussed, to the din of Rameir. Rameir is connected here. Sipar Dvarim Lefnei Rameir V'Gozar Aleihem. Here it's Gozar Aleihem, not just on the Shechita, right? So it's a little bit of the Gabra. And, of course, you have the Demusionam, it's on Barosh Haragrizim. Rameir Letami D'chayish Lemiuta V'Gozar Ruba Atu Miuta. So that, again, I'm just repeating now what we said the other day, but that is just important to appreciate what's going on here. And that is, and then Rabbi Gamliel Beis Din Onami K'Rab Meir Sfilu. That's also interesting. In other words, so just to make it clear, when the Gemara says Rab Meir L'Tamei, first of all, the Gemara sounds like it's extending it a little bit. It's more about the people, or it's getting to be more about the people, even though it still seems to be limited. But the idea that Rab Meir L'Tamei D'Chayish L'Miuta, oh, thank you. Yeah, okay. The Gozar Ruba Atu Miuta. So, of course, this is a little bit tamua, because if it had remained just Rameir, you know, then you could say, oh, Rameir Lishitasa. And even then, this is the question that we were asking, is the word, are the words Gozar Ruba Atamiuta, you know, how significant is that? Because you could say it's just a din, Rameir Lishitasa, Yiskoshe Shlemiyot, and Yiskoshe Shlemiyot here. But what that then means is that certainly there's no din in the Gabra at all. And this is just, you know, a chumrah in Shechita, basically. The question is whether the seifa, whether the addition of Gozar Ruba Atu Miuta, which isn't typical for Rabbi Meir, right, is that, you know, saying, well, basically, if there wasn't the Chashash Miut in general, if it wasn't Rabbi Meir or didn't have the sensibility of Rabbi Meir, then you wouldn't think that this could ever be a chalos, like in describing a population. This is the population in which, you know, the miut, you know, do this. Like, who cares, you know? It has nothing to do with the population. It has to do with the miut of the population, or no. It's a din, you know, it's a population thing. You know, they're not all doing this, but the fact that miut of the population is doing this, you know, it's part of the big circle that you draw around them, and it characterizes, you know, all of them. All of them because like probably it reflects an attitude or other kilkulim, or maybe not even that, but just if you're trying to identify and to define, you know, a population, maybe even the miut of what they do, even if the others don't do it, you know, still taints or tarnishes, you know, the rest. That's an interesting question, right? Again, and then the phrase, you know, of, you know, a ruba atu miuta is a kind of a, you know, the almost the equivalent of ruba kakula on the miut side, like in miuta, you know, kakula. But you wouldn't normally say miuta kakula. Why would you ever say such a thing? Right. But if you're talking about a particular nikar population, which to begin with is problematic, and again, which has other things going on throughout the population, or even not, but as I said, the two, the different ways, then you might say that's really what I'm trying to highlight. And once that is the case, so then you wonder if there really are two aspects. That's what we're saying. Then the next line where the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Din Onami K'Rab Meir Sfira Lahu. So does Rabbi Gamliel sign on in all of Shas? Are you okay? Oh. Are you running the thing, or are you just, it's easier to stand? So, and does Rabbi Gamliel, you know, sign on with Rabbi Meir and Chashin Lemuta generally? Or is this Rabbi Gamliel's way of saying, you know, we don't paskin this way generally, because typically we're interested in, you know, the Guf HaDavar, like, you know, is this something we have to worry about? There's a miut, you know, but there's more important is there's a row. But if we're talking about a problematic population or population or population in which other stuff is also going on, whichever. I keep saying different things because I'm not sure where to draw the line. And I don't think we'll ever know. But I think these are points on a graph here, you know. If that's what we're talking about, then if that's what I was trying to say the other day. You could agree with Rabbi Meir that a miut can be, you know, command the Isa. You know, maybe that part of Rabbi Meir we agree with. Maybe we don't. But maybe Rabbi Gamliel did. And therefore, maybe even if typically you're not koshe shlemiut, maybe here, in these circumstances, you'll say that your gozer, you know, ruba atu miuta, That's what we'll say. That's what I think the Rambam is saying in that tshuva, when the Rambam is saying that, you know, we're going to paskin like Rav Meir, legabe davar zeh, even though we don't typically paskin like him. Does he mean just in terms of the chashash, or does he mean in the chashash's capacity to characterize like an entire group? Michael, yeah.
I think that this idea that maybe specifically this kind of neo, in terms of the fact that it reflects something about the population, might be, you know, specific that we might not hold like a Rav Meir in general, but the fact that this neo could be reflected in Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and then in the days that he says that this miut is different than all the mutim for Rav Meir.
Yeah.
He has a lashon that Havanat Megazer Rav Meir al Kusim Ibnei Dmosiona Shematubar Grizin Vavu Kol Bnei Amakum Obdenwa. It's not generally a miut maybe for Rav Meir, and I would agree, but when you reflect on the fact that this population, every single
excellent
person,
correct. That's, it sounds like that's what he's saying, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, again, whether he's saying, you know, that, and therefore we're choshesh for this one, or that therefore you could say, I'm being trying to be dank in the language of the Gemara, that the goza ruba atum miuta, you know, even if on a choshesh level we wouldn't, but here we would, because it's a characterization of the thing, that I'm not sure. But that's a deeper Moscow.
That's in a cult slum in the Zara, where he's trying to distinguish between Venus Mesu Nike. That we're only choshesh for the gavina in that makom, and we're not gozer atu shamkom. It's a very similar lashon
right,
in the Gemara
right,
over there.
Right.
Because it sounds like it's from Meir Chai Shem Yuta, but also that he's gozer osam makom or shamkom atu osam makom. It's very similar.
Right, very similar idea. It's the same. I think it's the same. I mean, I don't want to go into that sugya right now, but I think that the same kind of sensibility applies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the Dibur Mas. That's memum base, right?
Yeah.
He said.
Gozer shamkom.
Yeah, atu osa makom. So again, because typically, you know, it's a big enough chiddush to say that you're choshesh lemiut. To say that we're going to say a kind of miuta kakula, you know, of course that's strange. Even ruba kakula is strange. But by the way, again, making it clear, what I mean by ruba kakula and miuta kakula, you know, is what kind of Reb Chaim's idea, right, about the Sanhedrin, meaning, but in general. And you have that certainly in Shechita too. One of the rayas is, Shechitas, you know, simanim. You know, you if you're shochet rove simon, so it's ruba kakula. You're choshesh the simon. You're not choshesh rove the simon. The rove is ruba kakula. So that's what we're saying here. Also, we're saying, you know, sometimes the because it tarnishes and identifies a group, or because it's also then related to lesser offenses, or because that group allows, you know, this miut practice, you know, within it. Whatever it is, I mean, I can think of so many different ways to say it. So what we're saying is, but that is then something that has to do with the status and stature of the population, separate from the actual just, you know, concern, you know, about it. So then we've kind of extricated a little bit from Rav Meir. You know, it's not the typical Rav Meir. Even Rav Meir, it's mechudash to go the next step if we're doing that. But, you know, can you go the next step without really believing in Rav Meir? The answer is yes. Then why do you have to even quote Rav Meir? Because there's still something within Rav Meir, right, that makes this more plausible. And maybe that something isn't something, something, something. Maybe that something isn't necessarily rejected by the Chachamim, who generally are Docha Rav Meir either. Yeah?
Can you connect this to the end of Masechet Sukkah with Miriam Pasdoga?
A similar idea. Could be. In the what do you call it? In the Mishmaros and the Pesach and so on. And I think you have this quite a few times. And yeah. Anyway, so then, and just to make it clear, the Gemara has here the next status when it gets made clear that we're, because what we're talking about, right? Which is then the Gemara says Rabavo, right? And then Rami and Ravasi. You know, that's when you have Velozozo Misham Ad Shasom Akum, right? Gemurim. So that's the next stage. Okay. And then the Gemara is, we already discussed. Ilashchita v'ainesach mehasam gozu b'rabanan, right? Inu gozu v'lo kiblu. So again, this question of lo kiblu, which is a shocking thing. I mean, yes and no, right? It's half shocking. So what does that mean? And we talked about Rashi, and the way Rashi is typically understood. Just to make clear. You know, I was trying to say something about Chudash and Rashi, but definitely the way the Rashi is typically understood is just that, you know, kind of like a Klal Yisrael didn't agree. They, you know, Maybe they should have, and or maybe they wanted to give more of an opportunity, whatever it was, but they just said no. Or maybe it's pragmatic, like it really sounds. You know, we're not cutting off ties with the Kutim. They're too much a part of the fabric of our lives. And, you know, and therefore, you know, it's only when there was some more actual distance, you know, that they were willing or able to go along. But the Tzlach and others just don't. Tzlach, of course, is the, for anybody, I didn't say it, is the note of Yehuda, right? So at other Achronim, just like, what do you mean no? What do you mean they're part of our, so cut them off. Do the right thing, Klal Yisrael. Right. It wouldn't be the first time Klal Yisrael didn't do the right thing. That's actually, I don't want to be, Korei Tagor or about Klal Yisrael either, but I mean, it wouldn't. So, or maybe it's, you know, Gzeir Shena Tzibur Yicholim Lamod Bo. I mean, there are different ways to say it. What I was suggesting was, and I'm not saying that Rashi meant this, but what I am saying is it's something to think about, and we'll see in a minute when I talk about the Keren Orah, you know, another, maybe that's kind of a little bit what inspired me, and that is that, you know, part of the issue here, both on a policy level and maybe even on a fundamental level, is to really determine to what extent this population, you know, perceived themselves or was perceived by the rest of Klal Yisrael. And again, I don't know the relationship between those two points. I know that they're different. I know that each one may be significant. And I don't know, you know, again, where to draw the line here. There's just no evidence. But this question of either self-image or how Klal Yisrael perceives you, you know, when they see perceive you as part of the, you know, Klal, you know, albeit a flawed part, the part that, you know, maybe embarrasses us, tarnishes us, stigmatizes us, part, or you could say the positive way, a part that we have to, raise their standards and, you know, and bring them along, you know, whatever, and how they perceive themselves. But these two questions, you know, may not be irrelevant if we're talking not just about a policy of what are we going to do about their shita, what are we going to do about their yayin nesach, what are we going to do about their, you know, bris mila, what are we going to do about their kiddushin and gerushin, you know, what are we going to do about all the other things, but if it's a question of, you know, their actual status, maybe that matters substantively. Certainly policy-wise it matters, and what about substantively? It's like, you know, like we said, babe, like we're going to talk more, but we've already alluded to, like a mumer l'avodah zarah, right? Say, well, but he's perfect on the other taryav, you know, mitzvos. One little mitzvah, right? But that one little mitzvah, or maybe, you know, mumer l'chalos haShabbos, you know, that one little mitzvah sometimes is the one that defines objectively or self-image-wise or Klal Yisrael's perspective-wise. You know, is this a you know, a deviant group, you know, within, or is it a deviant group, you know, that rejects and is on the outside? So how do you figure out whether you have flawed insiders or you know, flaws that are so, you know, corrupting or corrosive, you know, anti-definitional they're not in. They're just not. So that's what I was suggesting there. Again, it may be too much of a burden to put on Rashi, maybe. But I think the idea behind it, especially in light of some things we're going to talk about in a minute, and in general what we're talking, if we're not talking about the, you know, question of the Gzeira alone, but the question of status and losing your status, or if either through an act or a decision, a mechanism, or, we'll get to that in a second, Lamafreya, based simply on, now we look at the whole history of this in a different way, then I think that's an important factor. Okay? And then you have, again, you know, with, together with the Mayo v'Kachovim Gemurim, and then you have Levatel Rishus v'Litin Rishus. So again, that, you know, also gives you pause on the one hand, and for two reasons. Number one, technically, for the question that the Rishonim raised in Erevin and here, which is that you don't even need all of this for that. You could say it about the Tzedukim too. No one ever said about the Tzedukim, you know, that they're not members of Klal Yisrael. It might be minus, you know, but there are minim, you know. There are, you know, they're members of Klal Yisrael. No one ever said that the Tzedukim were written out of Klal Yisrael, you know. So that's a problem, and that's the issue that the Tosfos deals with in Eruvin and Rishonim in Eruvin and Rishonim here, including the Ramban. Right? Is it the language? Is it the, you know, the, what is it about that? But in addition to that, there's also the, you know, this is the question. Like, if you're going to say, you know, that, you know, either because, either in retrospect or you know, in fuller perspective, that's 1A and 1B, or, you know, we're now going to impose a mechanism that's going to, you know, write these people out of Klal Yisrael, right? So you, it wouldn't come trippingly off your tongue to say, yeah, they're, you know, we're going to make them goyim gemurim, you know, l'chol davar, for example, eruvei chatzeros, right? Or if it would, then you'd have to explain why. I mean, maybe that's kind of what the Sharon was struggling with also. Like, are they a bad influence? Maybe the, you know, being influenced by them is a factor. Is that what we mean here? If that is what we mean, then maybe it goes to the core issue, and that's why eruv chatzeros, you know, is an interesting litmus test. That would be for the fundamental way to read it. Of course, the other way to read it would be to say, even now when we're using, just like before when we were using, you know, we were saying that, you know, they made their shchita, you know, pasul, psula, what we really meant was that legabe shchita at least, or doraisas, you know, they're goyim gemurim. So to hear when the Gemara says, you know, goyim gemurim, lechol davar, you know, it's just language. We don't really mean it. What we really mean is, not only is their shchita and their yayin nasach pasul, you know, even their eruv chatzeros are pasul, but we totally don't, if we really meant the gavra, you know, the entire population, you know, we wouldn't be saying, we wouldn't be living in the Torah, we wouldn't bring this example. So these are the two, I guess, opposite ways to read the Shakla Vitaria, and that is very, very, these are very important. okay, so in terms of the, you know, the Chashin Lemiyuta part, we've already discussed that. So we have the that Rambam Tshuva, and again, we thank Michael for posting some memo base. I think there are other indications of it too. We have the Ramban, who really thinks that it's pure Chayshin and Lemiyuta. When it comes to the Okiblu, we have, you know, again, the Rashi, the critiques of Rashi. Again, it does seem that Rashi holds in the Okiblu that, you know, that it remained a mir, right? And you know, even in the end, and that's a, in contrast to the Ramban, who says lo kiblu because it was only a miut. So for the Ramban at least, oh, it's joining that issue. This is the Ramban's way of saying, well, we don't pass it like Rameir, so like, what's going on here? Or even if you pass it like Rameir, it doesn't mean miuta kakula. Or if you're the Rabbanan, it doesn't mean that. Or maybe there's a sympathy to the concept of miuta kakula sometimes, but not here. Not until it's Rov. I don't know. But the point is that, you know, since Rashi, you know, never is chozer from the Miyuta, so even in the end of the Gemara, that's what Ramban says about Rashi, even in the end of the Gemara, it's still based on Miyuta, even when they expanded it even more. Okay, so that's very significant. And as I mentioned, Ramban says Rov or Machtza, the Rajba says Kol. Kol can never be true. Kol can only be true if you're talking about a kind of kekula, miyuta kekula, or ruba kekula. I mean, for the Rajba and the Ramban, it's ruba kekula. So for the Ramban, the change is also in how much is going on. For the Ramban, again, quoting the Rishalmi, talks about kilkulim. Rishalmi doesn't say specifically about Azara. I said before, another way to read the, like if you ask Rashi, you know, assuming Rashi holds that it was always miyuta, right? So how would you read the Yerushalmi? Rashi might say to you, you know, unless he said I didn't see that Yerushalmi, and if I had, I would change my mind. But that wouldn't be, you know, likely, right? So what he might say to you, or what one might say, I would say, is that Kilkulin doesn't necessarily mean Avodah Zarah. You could still have the miut Avodah Zarah and the ribui Kilkulin. And it goes to what I said before. You know, if there wasn't something for the Rove, you know, then the miut wouldn't be a chalos that tarnishes them, or not. Not sure. But either way, that is important. And then finally, just to, you know, to pick up on the last thing that we discussed quickly, just to expand this just a little more, the Tosfos Rid which was that in the end of the day, the Tosfos Rid, as I was trying to say the other day, sidesteps, you know, the problem of the mechanism. Like, how do you, you know, how are you able to do this? Like, who has the authority, and what is the mechanism of all of a sudden saying that people who yesterday had Kedushas Yisrael, you know, no longer have it? Like, it's an astonishing thing. It really is. It's a little disturbing and a little bit astonishing, or a lot disturbing and a lot astonishing. But basically, the Tosfos Rid is avoiding that by saying, you know, that the mechanism is the original Geirus. But we shouldn't lose sight. So again, on the one hand, you know, that, you know, is a reflection of, you know, this avoidance, you know, and again, it highlights how mechudash it is. But what I was trying to say the other day is, let's not underestimate, you know, the implications of the Tosfos Rid, you know, in its own right. And that is that this is generations after the whole, you know, Rid. This goes all the way back, you know, the backstory goes all the way back to, you know, Malachim Beis. You know, it's a Nach story. And then you have, you know, generations of Kutiyim, you know, living with Klal Yisrael, you know, mentioned in the Mishnah, discussed in the Gemara. You know, when we have these phases, you know, we're trying to figure out, they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, they're not careful, or they don't believe in, maybe even in principle, don't believe in the Fnei L'Sitei Mikshal, which is fascinating. I mean, their Arvus doesn't, even for themselves probably, never mind for the rest of Klal Yisrael. I think that's also symbolic. I think it's symbolic they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, by the way, but whatever. Whatever. But we're talking about generations and generations. Right? And then their matzah skuti, the things that we saw, the things that they're maksikin, things that they're makel on. This is going on for quite a long time. Right? So we're talking about different people. How do you have, you know, a lamafreya, if you have an individual, you know, and you're not sure whether he's sincere or not, you know, and you want to say, sofa mochiach al tkilaso, you know, I can understand that, you know, but it starts from, the scrutiny starts from, you know, when he's mekabel, you know, and maybe it ends at a certain point when it's clear, or maybe, you know, in theory it could go throughout his lifetime, but it doesn't go beyond the grave, right? I mean, that's, we're talking about generations and generations here, so what does that mean, Betty Gloy Milsa, you know, that they weren't sincere or weren't sincere enough? So partly, it's highlighted, just one second, by the Lamafreya question that I asked, you know, is this Mikano Lahaba? So that's where Shai's cute comment came in. Shai was saying, well, the Gemara is worried about, you know, Behemton Shal Tzadikim and, you know, Takala, you know, even in that part, right? So you're gonna say that Lamafreya, everybody, those people all reading, we're all eating Shechita Skuti, all these great people, right? So why doesn't that bother anybody now? Correct? I think it is a good point. I was thinking more. It's a cute point, but it's also a good point. Those are mutually exclusive. Things can be cute and good. Okay. So, right, no one's saying here, and what about all the marriages in between, and what about... We do have those discussions in Ger Katan, right, and in other cases. But we don't have it here, you know, which means that either it's not Lamafreya, or if it is Lamafreya, it's a kind of, you know, I use this expression, assuming everybody knows it. Probably shouldn't do that, but I did use the expression Mikano Lahabala Mafreya, okay, which is an interesting idea, right? To, you know, has to do with different ways of looking at time, also. But we're not going to get, you know, we're not going to go Bergsonian, I guess, moment. But you know, I'm talking about you know, the way that some people understand. Maimar, you know, in Yibum, that's Reb Chaim's understanding, certainly, and the way that, you know, Breira is often understood. In other words, that, you know, in retrospect, there are certain, you know, conclusions, but they don't, it's not that, you know, in chronological times, when in sequential time, you know, people had one status, and then, you know, they're kind of given, you know, or in retrospect, you know, that's an interesting pshara. So at best, you might say something like that, and then the question is, what does that affect? Maybe not Behema, you know, Takala, al yada, maybe there's no machalas asuros. You have a similar problem, by the way, you have this in Maimur, you have it in Breira, you have it in Shittu Gubetzis and Ksubis, those were here a few years ago, in Afkin Rabbanu L'Kiddush Shemineh, which we'll talk about in a minute also. Right, Afkin Rabbanu L'Kiddush Shemineh, I'll mention it now very quickly, is a is a parallel to what we're talking about, right? Where, you know, the Chachamim is something mentioned in a few places in Shas, as we know, in Ksuvos, in the beginning, and a couple places in Gittin, and in Yavamis, a couple places, Basra, Keskabatim, right? You have this, this famous sugya of Afkin Rabbanu L'Kiddushim Minei, the Chachamim's ability, you know, because of a Din Rabbanan, to be Oker Kiddushim. So again, the like, what does that mean? How could they do that? Everybody, we were all at the wedding, you know. We all danced at the wedding, gave gifts to the chassid and the kala. That's one of the kind of Balam Afreya issues, right? The gifts. Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, what? Aside from being a nightmare, it's what is the mechanism of doing that? Right, so again, I like to point out, I don't think people speak about this much, but that the Rambam kind of avoids it, you know, studiously. That he paskins the Gemaras of Afkinu, but he never paskins Afkinu. And I think that he just was convinced that, you know, either it never applies or it never needs to apply. Lamaisa, maybe the threat of it is enough, which is the view of the Rialavan and the Ramban and the Rajba in one place, or just that, you know, this is a view in the Gemara, but we don't paskin like it. We paskin like some of its derivatives for other reasons. It's just, it's an astonishing idea. The large majority of Rishonim handle it, you know, by providing other mechanisms. You know, Hefker Bezen Hefker. So the Chachamim kind of have an access point to these, you know, they were Oker, the Kesef Kiddushin, or it's really Kiddushin Al Tnai, you know, it's the saying Kiddushin, you know, Re'ed Mekudesh Asli B'Tabazo, right, you say, you add the words, this is the question, do you or don't you, different Gemaras, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. What does that really mean? Does it mean Al Menashe Askimu HaChachamim? You know, and what does that mean? So there are many Rishonim who basically, you know, in that whole sugya of, you know, of Afkinu, you know, Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekasba, the Kaddish Kaviyah, Ma'ikah, Lameymar, that's how they explain the Shakla V'Tarya partially. Like, oh, Kesef, you know, we have mechanisms. It's messy, but, you know, we know how it's done, right? You is there Hefker Bezen Hefker, even Lamapreya? Right, okay. There are issues, but certainly Amanas Shiaskimu Achachamim, whether that's something that is implicit but comes from the chassan and the kala, or it's something that would be already halfway, not halfway, a little bit way to saying something more fundamental, and that is that the agreement of the chachamim, you know, is kind of an implicit requirement of the ishus, separate from the chassan and the kala's will. That's a bigger kiddush that already, you know, puts the chachamim in the middle of the marriage, meaning says that ishus is an aspect of kiddushus Yisrael, and therefore, you know, the collective chachamim, you know, have rights here or have a right here. That's already something in between. But this is the question. This is really the issue. But there is a small group that either says that, what I just said, which is that the chachamim, you know, are implicit partners in ishus, and therefore their will, both either to impose a t'nai or even separate from a t'nai, or it's yesh koch b'yad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah afilu b'kum v'aseh. Something like that. There are such views. Minority views. But views nonetheless. So again, you have like the heavy, heavy majority who are telling you, you know, that there are access points, you know, and it isn't really, you know, there are mechanisms that are understandable and legitimate. And it's mostly a policy question. Do you really want to do this? What are you going to do with the gifts? No, I don't mean the gifts. But what are you really going to do with the, what happens to the BS, Isur lemafreya, is there such a thing, or that's only a mikano lahaba, or that's even a mikano lahaba lemafreya? What happens with all that? You know, and you know, were the people who used to be related to, did that never happen, or now in retrospect it just gets expunged, or like what is all this? So there are policy questions, and there are real question. It's a parallel kind of a sugya, except that it's only Yishus, and that the mechanisms are also much more identifiable, accessible, understandable, etc. Again, there's a whole group of Rishonim I alluded to before who say that, it'll work, through access points or maybe through Koach HaKamim, but since it'll work, you never almost need it. Meaning, the Chachamim can destroy your marriage. I don't mean it in a bad way. They would only do it for good reasons. But, and therefore, you better go along with their, implicitly with the conditions that are consistent with Kedushas Ishus, because that makes them kind of a violent. You use an implicit almanas sheyaskimu, or you want to do what they minimally demand that you do, because the alternative, which is disruption of your ishus, isn't something that's going to bring you nachas ruach either. Right. So whether you know it or not, you want to go along with them. Anyway, but there are those who say that there's really koach lakor the kumbase, and so on. And in that, if the Keren Orah says something like that, Yevamos. And say Shidum Kubetzis and Ksuvis. And then whether that's, also the Mafreya or Mikanu Abala Mafreya or only Mikanu Lahaba, that's a question. So we have these perspectives. But when it comes to Tosas Rid, getting back to it, we're talking about many generations. Right. So you could say that, the thing is that when there's an individual, so in general, there's no, maybe it's the moment. And maybe if it's more than the moment, then it's the moment till it's clear that a phase of his life, is over. Or maybe his whole life, is mitzuraf in terms of figuring out, whether or not, he was sincere or not. But when it comes to people, it can go either way, right? It can go in either way. You can say, well, there's no such thing as a people. It's just an aggregate of individuals, and therefore, even right away, But, or if there is a collective and they retain an identity or we look at them as a group, so then at minimum what you might say is the Shir Tziruf, it's not one lifetime, maybe. Maybe it's that door. You could still draw the line in different places. But maybe not, as long as they continue on as an identifiable, recognizable entity from within, right? So, the book is still open, on this group. And it can be five generations later until we... Maybe. That's the technical adjustment. I think it's quite a technical adjustment. In the end of the day, this is very mechudash. A much better approach would be to say that implicit in this view is that, the group dynamic, is totally different in Geirus. It was for Klal Yisrael when it did it, but that for even other reasons. And it is for other entities too. And therefore, especially the combination of the group dynamic and the initial questions, and the, which continue, is something that makes this possible. But it's still a huge, huge chiddush. It's, is this population, this kind of population is on, it's on standby, or it's Geirus is still impending, right? It's just a remarkable thing. I suspect that for the Tosfos Reed, it isn't Lamafreya, right? If it would be, then my next choice would be Mikandal Abala Mafreya, but I'm guessing not even that. Yeah.
Just to clarify, what was the biggest riot for the fact that, throughout their entire history, that they had, this quasi-middle status, meaning the fact that they did maintain their identity as Kutin?
Yeah.
Meaning otherwise, they're just Jews. That's, I think...
Exactly. I was just going to say that 100%.
Yeah,
they're Kutin everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm sure there were individuals, maybe, who were... And maybe those... It's interesting, what about that? But the fact that they were... remain an identifiable group for so many generations. Again, a little bit because of their kilkulim, whether it's the ideological ones or the, but yeah, I think that's absolutely true. So, but is that just a, therefore we could say this tziruf and the book, and just We would have said it's no different street. And what I'm suggesting is, either way, the Tosfot is unbelievably mechudash. It's mechudash that we give such a long period of time to define something. It's even more mechudash that we're talking about generations and people who are no longer alive.
Maybe that even like also like the Rav that throws it back. He says that all the kutim were mechudash. Yeah, there were kutim. We were no longer identified as kutim.
Right. All the kutim that we know or that are recognizable are mekalkel. And that's kind of what continues to, you know, it's not the fact that they wear, certain kind of glasses or certain kind of hats.
That's slightly different than what we were saying before in the Rosh. Before we were saying halakhic clothes, and now we're trying to, what I'm saying is that it's not halakhic. No, it's actually all the people are still identified as kutim or mekalkel.
Right, but he does, because they're associated with this group. Right. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure about that. Yeah. But I do think either way your point is correct. Whether that's enough or whether it's, it needs which part of these is fueling the other, I'm not really sure about that. But I think if that's the major point is 100% correct. Yeah.
You did refer to it. I'm just checking out. If you're saying that the vast majority of the problem with the Kutim is that they're nikar and discernible from the rest of the Jews, so then presumably if an individual Kutim wanted to follow the Chachamim completely, at some point later on they wouldn't be considered completely Jews, meaning it's just because they're part of the group. But if they became Jews...
Yeah, that's what we're saying. I'm not sure about that. I think it's an interesting question. What about a Kuti, like, who really integrated, who doesn't, we don't look at him anymore as a Kuti, but he has that motza. So I think it's an open question. I'm not sure. I would like to think, that then he's fine. Could I still think maybe that wouldn't be so, since it all depends on the initial gerus, which was collective. It was a collective gerus, and therefore he's still held hostage to that. Or can he, even as a collective, part of the collective ger, individually integrate himself at a certain point? That's really what we're asked.
Well, you're saying it's discernible, then.
Well, the discernibility is certainly a factor in the general way. It's certainly a sine qua non for saying, that this continues after people are no longer alive, and that we're, that this is hundreds of years or whatever it is. I'm not sure exactly the timeline. Probably easy to figure it out. I'm just not so good at that. But I mean that minimally, but I do think, right, it's more than that. It's this is all part of the idea. That's what I'm trying to say it in gradations, because I'm trying to be, honest about it, and fair about it. I'm not sure where to draw the line. My instinct is that it isn't just the fact that they're a discernible group. It's the fact that we're judging them as a group. The fact that they're discernible, is what allows us to continue to do that and reflects that we've always been doing that, and therefore your question, I think is an open question. I'm not really sure the answer to that question. But I think I would like the answer to be, that notwithstanding the collective dynamic of the gerus, that individuals who are, who fully integrate into Kal Yisrael in terms of their behavior too, which doesn't mean that they're perfect, but in terms of the discernible, the characteristic behavior and so on, that's fine. That's enough of a gateway for them. They come in as collective, but their individual conduct, allows them still. But I could theoretically conceive of saying, well, they're dependent on that. Mashal Madover Domer, though, it isn't exactly the same. When the Ramban in Kedushin quotes the Rishonim, would say, we're only talking about that door, and then the Ramban says, I don't think that's true. I think the door, meaning Gere Reis Gere Emes, that it's only that first door. That's what the Dea that he quotes says. Then the Ramban says, no, because I think that, whatever that was, that is the foundation of their gerus. And therefore, whatever they do afterwards is not perceived as separate individual gerus or conduct as an individual to be part of Klal Yisrael. It's all hostage to what the group, how the group is unfolded. I think when the Rabban makes that comment, he's kind of saying something similar to what we're talking about. But he's not talking about, Davav, or Hamad Beis and Vav, meaning what do they do later in history? He's talking about how much are they dependent on the early history. But in a way, it's parallel opposites, and it's for the same reason. So this is what I'm suggesting, that even for the Tosfos Rid, this is just a remarkable thing. Yeah.
Could it be that all he means is that Matsu Lamba retired Rizim Shayol and Musa is
that... Say again?
Could it be that all he means is that Matsu Lamba retired Rizim Shayol and Musa is that we found the evidence that they always were doing this, in which case, if the Goyim Milsa it's not
the miyut.
No, but it's not even just that right now it's generations later, and somehow that it is mitsuruf to the original generations. We're saying the mitsuruf is like now we just found out that they always were doing this. So mitchila, they never were here. So it's not really even in like milsa.
In Tosfos is written. Then you'd have to say that it was really everything is lamafrei.
But then what about
Then you'd have to say everything is lamafrei.
Exactly.
Yeah? And then you lose shais, like what about all those people are eating shchitas kuti and all about all those intermarriages or marriages or edus, you had your kuti edim and your best kuti friend, who you gave you didn't give made a kedushin, but at least you made him an aid on the tznoim. So
that's what it makes it sound.
Or the Badekin, What? I'm just saying, then you have to live with that conclusion, which I think Shai's Ha'ara is a good Ha'ara. Also, no one is saying anywhere, that Igloi Milson Lamafrei, all these things. If you say that, it's also, it's a bit of a factual leap. I mean, the assumption that, hundreds of years later's conduct will prove that everybody, or at least the group, you may want to maintain a little bit of a group idea, at least, still, here. All right? They only found me. If, like, the original group was certainly only a me.
No, that's enough. As long as they never, as a group, never...
So I'm saying, you're still grouping a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree, just like I was saying, so let's say there are three levels of grouping. The one is what you're saying, which is, I guess, the most innocuous, but then everything has to be Lamafreya, completely. And Lamafreya, Lamafreya. Not even Mikandra Laba Lamafreya. Like, Bilaznus and all those things. You're not going to get away with some of the things that Chidon Kubetzis and Ksuvus is trying to tell you can get away with, even when you're saying Mikandra Laba Lamafreya. Never mind just Mikandra Laba. So you're saying that, okay. But I'm saying even then it requires a bit of a group idea. I'm saying the next place to draw the line is, well, we look at them as a group, and therefore the tziruf, of assessing them, continues. Right? It's based on not just what they did in this generation, but Igloi Milsa on the whole period. And what I really, really think, as I said, is that the whole thing is about a group Geirus, and therefore it's kind of, this one is remains an open question. And, we keep, being provided with more evidence that that's the way that we should be, or have been, looking at it. And then you could even say Mikandra Laba, or only Mikandra Laba. I mean, it's only Oka Mikandra Laba, or maybe Mikandra Laba frame certain things. But yeah, okay. So that
even if it's Mikandra Laba, it's not so problematic because at the end of the day, there were Shitos for generations who did hold that they were getting around. So I mean, Kaiser was always a little bit ambivalent about that.
Right, I understand, but I'm just saying it's hard to say if it really is only a meter. Right, and if we do Paskin, which everybody seems to Paskin, Gary MS, right? And again, in a way, the Tosfos Rid is saying, Goli Milsa, that they're Gerei Rides. And we're arguing now, or I'm suggesting there are different ways to explain that, meaning Gerei Rides, and all that we care about is them, but now we have more information on them, with the added huge assumption that what's been unfolding for hundreds of years is a good, accurate way to gauge a very, ambiguous then, right? Or what we mean by that is they came in as a group, and therefore the rules are a little different. Lekula and Lechomra, by the way. Maybe we wouldn't have allowed an individual who behaved in such an ambivalent way. Maybe wouldn't have even gotten off the ground. But as a group, they did. On the other hand, maybe an individual at some point, certainly ends with his death, probably even, has to be assessed. Never mind, I'm not talking about Ger Katan, where it's kind of structured in, much earlier. But for a group, as long as the group dynamic exists, the tziruf, there's more. Or it's even more than that. It's still the Kula and the Chumra and the, this question, are they outsiders or are they flawed insiders? And, at some point, we've closed the books on that discussion. We made a decision. We have a right to make the decision. The Chachamim of the later generation are deciding that, even if it isn't totally Lamafreya, or isn't justified objectively in a Lamafreya way, because it's still only miut, or it's still a question whether we can go back to that moment. But when we're looking at the whole history and trying to figure out, what's good for Klal Yisrael in this whole thing, and it's still kind of an open question, even though it isn't affecting so much you know, the specific halachos as we're sequentially marching through history, then,
How is it that participating in a group changes the laws of Giyur?
I'm suggesting that just, well, again, not just as, because it's different. I'm suggesting that that when you try to swallow or absorb a population, you know, for Klal Yisrael, that is a different chalos than.
My question is, I guess, is how do Chazal know that there's a different halacha which governs group conversion?
How do they know that? I think it comes from understanding the psukim, just the whole shocking. Again, everybody, listen, let me make something clear. The majority view in the Rishonim is probably not like any of this, as I said. Going back from the very beginning of our discussion, in other words, Geri Emes, Geri Arayos, according to the majority of Rishonim, is, you know, good, completely good or completely not good, and measured by the same standards as a Yachid, you know. It's like each yachid or the group, you know, as if it's a yachid. That's also two different things. No question that is the case. And therefore, the majority of Rishonim are probably also going to tell you, we'll see in a second, you know, that on what happens on Heyman Beis and Vavam and Aleph is more about policy. And therefore, as we'll see in a second, mostly, if there is no mechanism and it's really about policy and there was a proper Geirus, policy you can always have. Still very meaningful to have a window into halachic policy, right? But that's still different than, you know, changes in law or understanding the scope of the law. And therefore, it's only going to be l'chumra. It's never going to be l'kula, because you can't change definitions and so on. I'm trying to explain two things at the same time, and maybe even suggest in some cases that they're connected. Namely, that the original, that the pre, you know, the early stages are not so typical. And we've definitely shown, demonstrated, at least for quite a few Rishonim, that, you know, Geri Emes isn't purely Emes, and Geri Arayos isn't purely Geri Arayos. Right? Now, again, if you had these in parallel in the Yachid, would that be true also? We don't have it. You know. And it doesn't seem, you know, it seems like we're way more tolerant, you know, of these kind of ambiguities and ambivalences or complexities, you know, with this group, than none. I'm also trying to account for those who are giving undue emphasis seemingly to miut or other factors and who think that there's mechanism to get rid of a group of this particular population, you know, in a more fundamental way, not only l'chumra, you know, but l'kula too. Those are the people I'm trying to explain. Or at minimum, I'm trying to explain some deus and maybe don't paskin like some deus in the Gemara. As I said, to me, this question, whether it's all narrow policy focused on like certain specific applications or, you know, begavra or as an umma, etc., it could be the different stages of the Gemara, both in language and in fact, you know, have something to do with that as well. Like, until you're willing to apply this across the board, you know, maybe it has to be limited, and so on and so forth. But for that group that I'm now talking about, whether it's on the early stage or the late stage, when you ask, like, what's the makar, obviously it's reconstructed, but I would say it goes back to the psukim in Malachim, which is that, you know, whether that was before exactly or in the moment of the Geirus or even after the Geirus, this idea of, you know, Selokim, you know, Hayu Yireim, you know, Veselohayim, Hayuovdim, or whatever that is a shocking, you know, phenomenon. And whether it's the Givonim, in the case of the Givonim Yoshua, it's the ruse and the Harama, you know, that part of it. You know, in the case of the Kutim, it's the fact that, you know, they were placed in the population, they were having impact anyway. And again, this whole, you know, everything that's described in those psukim is, you know, seems to be out of step with, you know, kasha gerim kesapachas, you know, and so on and so forth. you know, the discouragement of Geirim, the high standards of Geiris, etc. So I think that the implication is, and then you look at all the Gemaras, and, you know, they don't believe in this, they do believe in that, they're better than we are in that, but they're, I think, you put it all together, the implication is that it's that the group dynamic Geiris is different than an individual Geiris.
I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't so clear. I wasn't questioning.
Oh, I spent 10 minutes just answering the question you didn't even ask.
I know, that was my mistake. I wasn't questioning whether.
I thought you were asking me where would they get this from.
But assuming.
I'm saying they're getting it from reconstructing some of the language in Psukim, given an attitude towards individual Geirim. Right, and the both in terms of seeking them or allowing them, or the standards that apply to them, that seems here not to be adhered to, right. Not in the Givonim case for its reason, and not in the Kutim case.
So, in other words, the Psukim and Malachim indicate that there's a distinction between group conversions and
I mean, the Psukim don't say, you know, Ve'ein Zeh Kamo Geirus Yachid.
Right.
I'm just saying. Any individual geir that would come to us, we would, in these circumstances, you know, we would embrace that population.
So, can we derive a principle from this? Like, is this like a sui generis scenario, Kusim, or
I'm not sure. I mean, what would be? But I do want to discuss the ten shvatim in one more second because I still have to get to the other things. Ten shvatim is a parallel opposite too.
But based on what Rebbe is saying now, the Psukim and Malachim seem to distinguish between these two types of Giyur. There's a Geirus Tzibur, or a Geirus Kehilo, or a Geirus Yachid. It seems like this wouldn't particularly be a sui generis or unique halacha for Kusim. It seems as though if there was another group conversion later down the line.
Well, there was a Givonim.
Right. Or even Bizman Hazeh.
Again, the Givonim history is a little bit different. Right? The Nesinim, Givonim, whatever you want to call it. But there, too, you do have, you know, some of these... phenomena. Right. I think it's a really interesting question that you're asking. Right. Was this like a Harosha special din? Again, I think the way that it was treated is still, but maybe we wouldn't, I mean, could Klal Yisrael choose, let's say in the future or in another scenario, to treat a population as just an aggregate of individuals, or are they always supposed to, if this is correct, treat it as a population, a tzibur entity, you know, and therefore in a different way? I'm not sure. The answer might be yes or no. I don't know. But I think it's a legitimate question.
Based on what are we saying now, that it's like a chiddush from Psukim and Malachim, doesn't it seem like it's
actually... But again, I'm not saying the Psukim and Malachim tell you that. I'm just saying given the other things that we are perspective on Geirus in general, I'm saying, looking at these Psukim and then looking at how Torah Shebaal Peh, right, you know, treated it. It seems like, you know, that these are quite different, Lekula and Lekumra. I'm happy that it should be Lekula and Lekumra. You know, if this is true, I think it makes sense that it would be Lekula and Lekumra. So both in terms of the, you know, the range, you know, in terms of, you know, the treating it as a collective group, you know, in terms of what factors, in terms of the mechanisms, to me, all of this adds up. And again, that doesn't mean it's the majority view of the Rishonim, because I don't think it is. Yeah.
Could you bring also a Raya earlier from Geirus Klal Yisrael that they weren't usher to the
Krogans? I was saying that you see in Geirus Klal Yisrael already that, you know, that when a group is misgayer, then the rules are different than when an individual, when there already is a Klal Yisrael. Now again, that could be different though for two or three different reasons than this. In other words, what it has in common, I've made that reference a few times, is that again it's a group dynamic Geirus rather than, you know, 600,000 male and their female and children counterparts, you know, individual Geirus. What I was saying was the questions, particularly in the Achronim, about that, like, you know, Kurva Lekula and Lechumra, are based on the assumption that Geir Shinzgayer Kakatan Shinola Dummy applies equally in both cases. That's the assumption of the question. In my opinion, then there are many answers given to these questions, right? And in my opinion, you know, a very good answer to solve almost all of them, Lekula and Lechumra, is this answer. Okay. Having said that, I do understand and believe that there are some important differences. You know, I do think that it implies, you know, a group geiros, but I think it's also a very unique group geiros. It's a group geiros where there was no existing Klal Yisrael to join. This was, you know, this was the formation of Klal Yisrael. You know, and that makes it different in several different ways. In other words, you don't have that melting pot or whatever, you know, that you're supposed to, you know, be joining. So you're not Tafela Ikar. This is the you know, so the idea that everybody kind of held hands, you know, figuratively, you know, and like kind of walked over that Rubicon into Kedushas Yisrael together, and therefore they were Mitzuraf to each other, I mean, husbands and wives and children and families, you know, came over together. Maybe on the most technical level, you could say Gershon Sgar Kotten Shinola Dummies, because there's no Tziruf at all between, you know, your past and your present, you know, slash future, right? But that isn't true, you know, in the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. You know, they were Mitzuraf and they walked over together, right? So if there's an objective din that an act of Giyur, you know, resets your clock, you know, your identity clock and everything else, and maybe this it is what it is, right? But what I'm saying is, well, that isn't what happened here. It's a Tziruf problem. There's no Tziruf problem here. Or and. I just think these are over. You could say one and narrow it. What I'm saying is it's more than that. This is the group, you know, Giyur. You know, and therefore, in addition to that point, overlapping with it even more, is that, you know, that it's all Klal Yisrael, it's Geirus. It's different. Doesn't mean it doesn't have some of the components. I mean, we learn the components of individual Geirus from, you know, Klal Yisrael's, you know, Odyssey at Sinai. Of course, it's connected, you know, but it's still different. And this is, of course, the group that was destined to be Klal Yisrael, you know, vis-a-vis the rest of the world. So there are differences. I still think that part of it is the collectivity part of it, and that part of it is common. Right? Ein Adoma, the formation of Klal Yisrael as a Klal Yisrael Geirus, to when Klal Yisrael exists and some other population is trying to take a collective step into it. Now, I don't necessarily mean that that affects their Gershon Hizgar, Kotet, Shinola, Dami vis-a-vis each other, although that's an interesting question. If somebody would say that, that would be sensational, amazing. Okay. I'm not aware that anybody does, but I think it's an interesting question. If there are other, you know, broken rules or inconsistencies that have nothing to do with conduct, it would certainly seal this deal. But I would say that it doesn't disturb me, particularly if there aren't, because I still think that there are some things that the Klal Yisrael collective Geirus, you know, are just, you know, inimitable. They are sui generis. All right, does that answer? Okay, so I'm sorry everything is taking so long. Ooh, okay, so let's get to the, where are you going? There he is, okay. So I just want to talk for a few minutes about some of the formulations, you know, that we find. So firstly, I wanted you to, if you had a chance, to look at the question of Kula L'chumra, etc. So first of all, there's an interesting exchange in the Tshuvas of the Rashbash. That's the son of the Rashbats. Okay? The Shavuos people remember him fondly, I hope. Why do we remember the Rashbash fondly? Asher, do you remember the Rashbash fondly? In the sugya of, I think I'm in the sugya of, you know, can you pass off yourself or someone who you know to be telling the truth? You know, the shach, you know, that whole issue. Can remember? Can you pass somebody? Somebody comes to court, he's telling the truth. He knows he's telling the truth. You know he's telling the truth, right? He's also pasuli edus, and the dayan doesn't know. No one else knows. Right, can you pass him off as an aide? You know, part of the, Midvar Sheker Tirchak Gemaras and Shavuos and Shavuos Eidos. So the Rashbash, you know, takes a very interesting, you know, view on that. Anyway, this Rashbash is interesting. It's just interesting. Okay, so in Tufresh Tesvav, but it's fond memory or not? unequivocally fallen. I don't put words in your mouth. I have fun. May I project? Okay. So he quotes Rav Chisdoy. He quotes us as a debate already. Right, Rav Chisdoy, Rav Yudah Hazaken. This I don't think I have in the group, right? No, this I have just done. That's when my paper ran out. Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I didn't need this whole thing, you're saying. This whole high-tech thing that we did, we could have just gone, I could just tell you where it is and you just go to the Byline. Is that easier?
I think we're going to put pictures on anyways when we get to them, just for like experiments.
Yeah, just to show that we were technologically capable of doing this. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I should also just do it that way, just put it on a sheet or something. Dinner Rav, so it's Rav, so go ahead, Arya, if you don't mind, just quickly. When Rav Chisdoy, Rav Yehuda Gaon Hazaken, who was the Rebbe of the, according to the guys in the footnote, the Rebbe of the Rivash. Okay. So what did he say? This, again, post, obviously, this is in the, you know, the 15th century, so this is, this is Kutim, way, way past the Gzeira. So we're treating them basically, as he says, go ahead, V'yira. Meaning you're treating it as a Yisrael Mumar, basically. So the din of the Gemara is basically L'chumra, but it's not real. And all the good things that we've been struggling to say, throw them out. Unnecessary. Okay? Vanita, except the Rajbash, comes to the rescue. Yeah? So this to me is fascinating, because again, what's he saying?
He's saying two things. That number one, it's still a gezeira, and number two, it was already telling the machlokas.
I mean, what does that have to do with anything? What does the original status of Geire Emes or Geire Raios have to do with the takana that was made, a few hundred years later, or 100 years later, whatever, beginning of, let's say, whatever, the Tanoim, but. But what does one thing have to do with the other? That's relevant to, being chozer l'suro or Yisrael Meshumad or, any insincere ger who tricked us or who didn't know his own mind, in Igloi l'mafreya. So here, again, just the fact that, I don't even know how much he means it consciously. It doesn't really matter to me. So, I mean, it would never have meant it consciously, but even if he only means it subconsciously, this is meaning, this is different. Okay. Again, does it prove my point that it's fundamentally different? It's a group dynamic? No. Although I think that's the best way to explain it. It could also just be, on the fact, this particular group was treated this way. This aggregate of individuals was treated this way. I just think it makes much more sense to see it the other way. Go ahead. The Machal Shematzalem Demus Yonah. And he says certain things here, including what we just saw, which are just very helpful. Go ahead, Umiloshon. Meaning he's Medayik in the language. Okay? And again, what about the Erevin part, which seems to temper the language? Right? We'll get to it a little bit, but okay, this is important. Okay. Go ahead. Now this, I think, is really important. And as far as I know, I could be wrong, this is, I think, the earliest connection between these two things. Go ahead. Yeah, of course, so the language is the same. Right? This is talking about the Saras HaShvatim. Right? Shenemar Bashem Bogdu, fascinating. Right? Ki Banim Zarim Yaladu. So, So just sort of for a second, of course, these are parallel opposites. You, of course, could be mechal. We're talking about, in one case, a group that, you know, was shaky to begin with, although we did paskin, according to most people, Gary Amos and other Jews, another a particular population in the Jewish community, right? Can you just, can you strip them of their Judaism, right? The answer is, well, we have a, you know, we have another precedent for that, and that's Aseres HaShlatim, right? But, it, of course, it could be a huge difference between a, you know, an indigenous, you know, part of the original, not only that, but the configuration of the Shvatim, which may even be necessary for the, you know, proper ideal functioning of Klal Yisrael, you know, we be Mos HaMashiach, or in the future, right? So the idea that even they could be stripped of their, or temporarily, or whatever it is, you know, it's Kol Shekein that if you could do that, you could do this. Okay, but it's just a fascinating parallel. Okay, go ahead. And like the language is also, Vashem, from Pasuk Moshe, Vashem bagdu ki banim zarim yaladu. You know, the begida idea, and the banim zarim, meaning they didn't behave like a, they kind of cast away their distinctiveness also. They basically assimilated. They betrayed the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's not that they did, you know, great averos. Like the word mumbar, of course, is a betrayal. Begida is a betrayal. You know, banim zarim yaladu. You know, again, you can all, you see these things, you can understand these things in a narrower way, for sure. You know, but, you know, we could also, you know, bolden them, I guess. You know, bogdim and zarim, meaning the whole identity is a Jew. They weren't behaving, you know, as a group that had a Jewish identity. In a way, they were assimilating. It's a scary thing when you think, sadly, when you think about the implications of this a little bit, you know. Again, but here's where the discernible population, here there was a discernible population, the Shvatim, which, you know, might have been more difficult to eradicate because of part of the configuration of Klal Yisrael, but they still were a discernible population. I mean, I'm thinking about the terrible, you know, implications, you know, for an assimilated Jewish community that barely identifies, you know, at all. Maybe their support of Israel, even that, you know, maybe that's a form of identification. That's one of the reasons it's so important, in addition to the need for the support. But that aside, in terms of their lifestyle, how they, you know, in some cases, lo shinu ha-shamam, you know, but you can still tell people somewhat, not fully, you know, by their last names. But, yeah. Begida and Zarim. They were basically not just high crimes, you know. I'm not continuing with that. we'll stop at the high crimes. But what I'm saying is, more than that, you know, turning your back on Jewish identity, basically, and you know, like very core thing, begida, you know, that's elokai halokai, and even amechami banim yaladim. Right, banim zarim, rather yaladim. As I say, the los ischatein bam. I think I mentioned the other day. Sugyas of Arizar really demonstrate this in other places. Third paragraph of Ksuvas is an interface between Arayos and Avodazara in the, you know, lost identity, both as averos, but also in terms of cultural, you know, behavior, and also the consequence of losing Jewish identity, having non-Jewish children. Or children that don't know they're Jewish. You know, that kind of tinuk shenish. Okay. Ubelo safek, dehai psuka, lav dinu b'chol goy. Nami abal bas yisrael ablad. Lahav a goy gamur. Ah. Meaning we're not saying from the Aseres HaShvatim, right, that, you know, that every, you know, kind of intermarriage or any illicit, you know, relationship between a Jew and a non-Jew, you know, writes you out of Klal Yisrael. Like, even the fact that he's bringing this up, I mean, he's, the Rashbash is thinking, you know, exactly in the terms that I'm just describing. I mean, he's thinking, oh, so every, you know, explicit begida, barim zarim, you know, or potential barim zarim, in this case, it's a Bas Yisrael, but, you know, is going to write you out of Klal Yisrael. Maybe that could be because, You're turning your back on core principles. You're no longer identifying as a Jew, both in terms of the Maisa and the Chomer HaAveira, but even more so just in terms of, as I say, Jewish identity. He's saying, no. But this is a discernible population, right? Albeit a discernible population in this case, which, you know, is a compelling reason to leave it alone, right? Or not, right? Go ahead. Deleka manda amar haki. Okay. Yeah. The Nasha B'tzion Inu. Okay, so then they limited it. But still, even for that door, whatever that means, it's still a shocker. Right. And it's still, for him, a paradigm. V'chein HaRashba. Here's a key that came back. Mekivin d'gzeres chachamimi, lios goyim gemurim. Yeah, same phrase. Yafagav, and that's just so you don't. He's not saying the Tosis Rid. Yafagav, go ahead. Meaning Gerei Rayos, meaning if they had an improv, not the Gerei Rayos of Kutin Gerei Rayos necessarily, but the Gerei Rayos of improper motivation. He's kind of working with kind of the Tosis idea, right? Meaning not, we're not saying that this, if you was a yachid, the way I'm reading this is, if there was a yachid ger, this wouldn't work. But this was a knas is less than a din, not more than a din. The answer is, but this is a Klal Yisrael turning its back on a group. So it can do that, even though it doesn't change its identity, Lekula and Lekumra, or it's more than that. As a Knas, they can do things that they can't do as a Din. Maybe, I don't know. Go ahead. Lisha de Gemara Hasam, Lashon Gzeirahu. I would think that would make it weaker. But this is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Go ahead. Our Gemara. Notice that the Rajbash is again and again being medayik in the language of our Gemara. And of course the parallel language in Yavamos about the Shvatim. He's doing this. And he's thinking about, well, what are the implications, you know, for regular, illicit, inter-Jewish Gentile, marriages or cohabitation, whatever you want to call it. Go ahead. V'chein nizkar sham kama pa'amim lashon gzeira al maknasahu v'lavdina. That make, again, you think the opposite. I mean, what he's saying is, pure from din point of view, as individual ger, this isn't going to work. This is an attitude towards a population. Go ahead. Yeah. So again, the exact things that we're talking about. So this doesn't, from a Dina point of view, it doesn't stand up at all as individuals, for sure. Go ahead. Meaning they don't hold like Rav Meir either. That's kind of what he's saying. So what's fascinating, then he quotes the Ramban. Then he says, Kasvu Ramban. Now the next part, Lav Dafka Bahani Belchud, etc., is the second piece of the Ramban, or the third Ramban, who we were discussing the other day. We discussed, how many Rambans are there? Right? So, right, Zach? So what was that, number three? That was number three. So what's fascinating is, he then quotes, and the whole next part, practically till the end, is the Ramban. But what's fascinating is the way he presents the Ramban on the part that he did. It's wrong. Not wrong, I don't want to say wrong, it's mean. But it's inaccurate, isn't it? Is it? Binyamin? Or am I beating up on the Rajbash, who I claim to have sentimental, deep attachment to? Is it wrong or is it right? Is it accurate or what? But we don't know what I'm talking about. Akiva, what do you think? Amrami? Everybody's quiet. Everybody's saying, no, what are you accusing the poor Rashbash of? Yitzi? Ellie? Eitan?
No, plead
the
fifth.
What?
Plead the fifth and go with you.
Plead the fifth. Okay. Well, I appreciate the support, but Noach? Maybe I'm wrong. Could be your mom. Daniel? No one thinks Tani? Whoa. The Ramban said what? That that Yerushalmi's kilkul turned... I should ask Eitan. You agree? It turned everything into a rov. How does the Rashbash interpret him? It's still a miut, but there's also Masayim Mekulkalim. I mean, exactly what we were looking for to say, correct? Am I browbeating you and putting words in your mouth? No. Kalila. I would never do that. I wouldn't do it consciously, I hope. Right, Eitan? So, is this an accurate quotation of the Ramban here? I mean, yes and no. The Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi. But the Ramban's quotation of the Yerushalmi is to say that a change took place, you know, from Miut to Rov. That's why there was no Kabbalah. Right? I was pointing out before that the Yerushalmi doesn't say anything about how many people were, you know, were bowing down to the Demus Siona and the Harag Rizim. It just could be that maybe that's enough to have that miut to say Gazru, you know, Atu Miuta. Sorry, I'm going to finish in 2 more minutes. And maybe not. Maybe also need that, you know, that even if they're not all doing this, you know, what they are doing tarnishes because they're doing other things, which show that what they are doing, what the more acute group is doing, is not a, you know, an exception, and they're, you know, a minority stance alone, but, you know, maybe there are different gradations, I'll bring you different gradations of kilkul, but you know, you need the intense one, you know, to establish that they're renegades, you know, not just flawed, you know, Jews, you know, and that renegade, you know, status, all, even if it isn't expressed, you know, the most acute way by the majority or by the call, you know, is reflected somewhat. Isn't that's what the Rashbash is saying? That's amazing, right? So instead of like you know defaming him, I'm just reinforcing my great affection and appreciation. Okay, go ahead. Then comes, okay, then the end. We don't need the end. Then what's fascinating is, again, I think maybe he read this in the Ramban, but it's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban says something very different. Then he quotes the next Ramban. Practically, this next part is like practically a verbatim quote of Ramban number 3. Right? And then in the end, he just comes back to this basic idea. Alma kutim goyim gemurimim ugzeira sachamimi after saying Xero Xero Knas Knas Midina Lohava Kiddushin. Kach nearly. Yeah, it's kach nearly because he knows it's not so. Right? So this is already a pretty early explicit. Now again, this is implicit in the Rambam that, not all of it, but again, the Rambam and the Tshuva with the Miut works in with this. The Rambam all over the place in Pirshei Mishnayos, I think I mentioned this. In some places, the Bar Tanura or the Tosfos Yontif in the Mishnayos, you know, take issue with it. But Bein Lekula, Bein Lechomra, the Rambam's view on Kutim, all over the place in Pirshei Mishnayos, is that they're Kegoyim Gemurim. Right? There's no Tumas Nida, there's no Tumas Meis, right, there's no, like, why? But shouldn't be machmir? Those aren't policies. Those are definitions. It doesn't explain what the mechanism is. But that's his view. Okay. Who disagrees? Oh, now we get to put that stuff on the board. Do we have two more minutes? Maybe three? Right. So I do want to finish this. We need to talk about Momer Leteo. Who's up there? Oh, this is it. Yeah. Well, different signals for different things. So this is already Beis Yosef. You know, when the Bach discussed this in Simon Mem Dalid and Avinu Ezer, Simon Dalid, right? We got it there? Okay. Right, so you got the this is the one Simon Dalid, right? Period of Arivia. So the Beis Yosef says, right? Majakos Rabbeinu Kuti, right? In Elo, Nimshach, Achar Lashon HaMishnah, the Kiddushin Perka Omer, meaning that this is when Kuti are you know, partly Israeli. Says Ukvar, something a Rambam, right? Perisha Mishnayas, Shama, Shemisha Shem Kuti, who Bizman Shemoya Kuti Etzlam Kigai, Abel Hayomim Kigai, Lechol de Graham, Umitam, Zeh Lohisk, the Rambam meaning, Lohisker Kuti Klaal, the Hilchot Sisirabia. He just points out that the Rambam generally has barely speaks about Kuti. Kuti's all over the place. Again, this is part of the Ha'ara that Arya made before, their discernible status, right? They're all over the Mishnayos. The Rambam barely speaks about them. You know, the only, and we know what he says in Hilchos Avadim, which is that, you know, the Kutim, you know, were the initially were the Tzedukim or the Karayim, you know, of our time, of their time. And then they became, you know, Goyim Gemurim. But that's why he barely has them. It's a good Ha'ara. Right? Lo hisker kuti klal b'hilchos Yisrael in other places. V'das Rabbeinu shelo asarim kigayim alahachmer alein. What about the tour? You know, he does still quote them. He can't get out of the early history? No, because he thinks the whole thing is only a chumrah. That's what the Bach says as well. Bach says, look at Sin Mem Dalet. You have it there? Quotes our Gemara. And then he says, Smir le Rabbeinu, Dlamakein alahachmer. Right? V'zeh. How come I can't read it there? Something shalag geonim shetzrichu get lekiddushin, right? Because of Rabbeinu, you need a get, basically below Karambam. The Rambam says bein lahakel, and we don't hold that one. You have Simon Mem Dalet. What? Okay, that's just the same idea, just to follow through a little bit more. I only give a few. We have two more minutes. Yeah. Avram gets a mazel tov, but we have to find the right thing to sing. It's got to be a different song. Right. We'll have to work on that.
Katan Chinola dummy.
What?
Katan Chinola.
Ah, there you go. This is, yeah, Bala Itur. Right. The tour says, Yeshomrim, the Mishumad, da 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 da, right? He's Matrich Haget. Okay, Rabbi Yudai, the Gonim already speak about this. The Gonim required a get. And then the Beis Yosef quotes the Bala Itur, and he says, Stab the Kamelin Goyish, Shabbat Sons, Abdu, 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 Zara, one second, is that the right one? No, doesn't look right. Is that the whole thing? Wait. No. This is the right one. This is the thing. Do I have it maybe a bigger... No, how come I have it? Wait a minute. Bala Itur. Stop the camera. Go show this one second. Ha'inna inna meshubet l'avarizu b'chum shubet l'avarizu b'chum. It's the wrong one? Oh. I see. I mean, it's bigger, something on the page. Okay, it doesn't really matter. It's the same. You'll see it's the same thing. But I would have liked to have it. I thought when I looked it over that I had more of the page. This is like the, sometimes when you tap on these things, they get bigger. Would that have come through in the...
Yeah, it would have. This was all
the cases. Oh, okay. All right, it's there. You look at it. Okay. So, okay. Just look for a second. So that's basically the Shita. Look in Hilchos, in Yordea, you have that one?
Yeah.
With the Shach. Yeah. I told you to look at Sivkot and Hay on the Chavos Das. This is the question of ribis, right? Kutim yesh lahem din mumur la'avodas kachavim, says the Shach, Sivkot and Hay. I don't know, I used to be able to blow this up in both of them when I would tap it.
Double tap.
Double tap? With my wand? Or Moshe Rabbeinu had a wand, too. Okay, I don't know. It could be that when once I shared it, maybe I paid a price for the sharing. No blame. I'm just trying to figure out the... I know that when I, at home, when I did this, it came bigger and I got more of the page. Okay. Anyways, Masmud also lahalvos bahen beribis. Mehen beribis. You're not supposed to pay ribis to a non-Jew. Okay? It says, you know, lanachri. You're supposed to lend to a non-Jew ribis, not supposed to pay to her. Okay. V'chein mashma, he's saying the same thing about kutim. So the shach. V'chein mashma yoser ba'ataz. V'tzorachim da'kaim le'mekamaduchti she'gozer ala kutim v'asom kovde kochavim gemurim. The Kamelan Perakabad the Khun Vasan Kabut Kamba Gamurim Apishu Kula, Shimikacha Macher Lote Mikudesh Slov, Lotitzrik Menuget, Bhin Shkuri Abadim. Okay, so basically he is taking the view that this is a debate that the major poskim, you know, from the very beginning were arguing about. The Dogomar Bava I had on the side, your Kovda Kakovim Gamurim. This is the Rav Yehuda. That's his parish on his little Ha'aros on Shulchan Aruch. Ayin b'Avinu Ezra Simin Mem Dalid. Right? Ube Beis Shmuel Sifkat Yud Gimel. They always say that it's just L'Hakel. Okay. If you look at Rabbi Kiveger, it's Ayin Tosis Yontif in Nida. Also, that it's just L'Hakel. The Chavos Das, do we have that in the back? One of these is the Chavos Das. Yeah. I'm really disappointed that my tapping isn't working. What? Got it? No, that's the Samsofer. We'll get that. That's really important. Get that in a second. I'm sorry, again, I don't want to... you know, I really should stop. So. Okay, let's do the Chavos Das, and then I'll speak very quickly about the Keren Orah and the Samsofer, because they're spectacular. They're the ones who really think, you know, that Chacham have the ability to be Oker, the status... But the formulations are really interesting, both the Keren Orah and the Sam Sofer. So we'll leave that for next time. So the Chavos Das, of course, is the author of the Nesivos on Yoredeya, right? Simcha Mishpat. So Beis Yaakov and what do you call it? This is one of his Sfarim. So he has here Amnam. He talks about the Shach. Mikomakom Kasherli Dibrei Hashach. Kivin Minaraisa Yeshlo and Din Mumer Yisrael Maaliyah VeKidushim Kidushim VeChein LeChol Mili Mumer Din Yisrael Yeshlo. Here, it's important just because v'chiyesh koach biyad biyada meaning chachamim lakar davar min haTorah v'kum va'aseh. Instead of just arguing what did the chachamim do, right? The Nesivos is saying they don't have this ability. K'mivur b'kama duchti ein koach biyad chachamim lakar davar min haTorah v'kum va'aseh rak b'shev al tasa. The Efshar, the Be'emet, Sein Apostle, Rak Midrabanon, B'chein Mash B'chun, Dabav, the Ka'amar, right, the other Diyuk, not the Diyuk of the Rajbash, the other way. Mayov, the Kachavim Gemurim, Lebatol Rishus, V'ikad Ibrei HaShach, Hayla Lomar Rabusa Gedola, Tafpilu neged mila daraisa im kavu kacham gemurim. They should have said kigon lekadesh ulahoshet lo yisurim uboy gerus elabade director abanan asom kavu kacham lachim akshi may marbe. Right, oba med de kamar gemurim bekamar lebal lebatol rishus. It should be lebatol. Avol neged mila daraisa badi lo. Then at the bottom of the next piece, he talks about the karaim. He says, "Nei debekutiyim mutar mishum dechacham masakir av dechachavim." Right, how you koach biyadam lakor davar min haTorah. Avol anu ein lanu koach. Right, bevadai lakor afilos achas me haTorah. So we'll stop here. I just want to do the Karen Orr and Yavamas on Masaras Hashvatim and the Sam Sofer and Siman Lamed Tes. Okay, and then we're going to talk about Mumar. We'll first speak broadly about the different mumrim, and then I'll break it down into different specific. Okay, sorry for the light.
I thought I heard once about that Purim. I know there was like Kabbalah Shatorim Yavo, but that the whole institution of Klal Yisrael was like in Suffolk until Purim when they were So, but it only works that would be an example of a Gru Geras being Tola until later.